Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
When addiction takes control, getting help can change everything. Parkwood Behavioral Health System offers compassionate, evidence-based addiction treatment for adults right here in Mississippi. Take the first step today. Visit parkwoodbhs.com. Healing starts here. With limited exceptions, physicians are not employees or agents of this facility.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air. Full crew, Bob Kelly, Dima. We're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Glad you're with us. Coach Christian Ostrander about to join us. Golden Eagles win the weekend series by taking the Sunday game against Appalachian State. 2-2 on the week. Jumped three spots in the D1 poll from 11 to number 8 in the country this morning. Come in at 13th in both the coaches' poll and perfect game, and 16th in Baseball America. The RPI now at 9. Southern Miss now halfway through the season, a little over, with three top 15 wins against number 4 MSU, number 9 Oregon State, number 16 red hot Alabama, who's gotten really hot lately. So we go to Christian Ostrander every Monday. Coach, up and down week, I think it's fair to say, with two wins, two losses. Before we get into any particulars, overall, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of an average week by our standards, and quite honestly, and I don't discredit anything. I mean, Mississippi State was really good last Tuesday night, and, you know, so they just throttled us, and you know, and we just – Didn't do anything well that night, in my opinion. And this weekend, I mean, just, yeah, kind of very proud of the series win, but our expectations are more. We try to be greedy, but, you know, it's all about, you know, getting series wins, and we were able to do that. So, yeah, I was very proud of the guys for getting that done.
Coach, the team, no secret, has been struggling at the plate. Seemed to pop out of that yesterday with 12 hits, 3 home runs, 13 runs. What was the difference Sunday that allowed them to open up a little bit?
Well, some of it had to do with the arms we saw, yeah. You know, just to be honest with you. But also, I thought our guys did put good swings on it. You still got to go do it, and they still have guys that are capable of getting you out if you don't lock in and then just really, you know, get more determination of trying to put that barrel on it. So, no, I was proud of the guys. I really were. We, you know, we challenged them a little bit Saturday and after that loss, and, you know, and they responded with some ownership of it, and that's all we were looking for.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You challenged them on Saturday. I had a chance to talk to Urban and Morrison after the Sunday's game, and they said, listen, after, you know, Oz challenged us, we challenged each other. We challenged each other as a team and just said we need to, you know, come to the park. And they said they felt different coming to the park on Sunday.
Sometimes you need that. You just need to almost – it's almost like you know, just repenting, man. Just like kind of leaving it out there and say, I'm done. I'm ready. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to change. I'm going to do something different. And we all need to hear that, and especially in a game that's built around adversity. And, you know, quite frankly, I think our last 10 games, we've just been very kind of back forth. And some good moments, some not so good moments. And we just need to find our mojo and get back riding that wave a little bit of that, you know, not arrogance, but confidence and swagger and just, you know, grit and determination. And I know these guys will do that every year. I think every year I've been here, we seem to have a little lull somewhere in a season that you gotta fight through. But that's every program. There's no such thing as it being perfect all the way throughout a 56-game schedule.
It really felt like Urban, when he hit that grand slam yesterday, to kind of give you guys a lead, something that I know that you guys have struggled to separate yourselves early in baseball games, but almost felt like when he hit that, it was almost like a relaxation for everybody at the plate moving forward in the game.
Well, I'm sure it was. I mean, you know, we've desperately been seeking that, you know, and getting some kind of you know, a little breathing room and stuff to where you don't feel like every pitch is just, you know, magnified. But they are. That's part of the game, 27 outs. And But that was great to see, and you know, it was just, you know, and then from there, I just think, you know, scored in a lot of innings, and that was, you know, just good of the offense, keep, you know, putting pressure on them, and then, you know, getting guys to touch that plate often.
And you moved the lineup around again yesterday, Coach. What goes into that thinking when you, for example, you know, you move a guy that's down in the lineup to number, you know, your leadoff spot? How do coaches approach that that thinking?
Well, I can only speak for me. I don't know what others do, but to me, I'm always searching. I'm always searching for answers and thinking there's a right answer. And you might hit a lineup that, oh, this feels good, and then it doesn't feel good anymore. And you know, I don't like doing the same things over and over again if it's not working. And you know, and just trying to find the rhythm of the lineup, trying to find how do you lengthen it, how do you hide some weaknesses, things like that. And I believe there's always a right answer, and sometimes they come to you quicker than other times, and I think the time will come where we'll find that one that really feels just right, and roll with it.
Coach, we've always kind of joked about your, what you say to your pitchers is you've got one job, right? Throw strikes. And I noticed, particularly on Saturday, whoever the reliever was, walk a man, boom, here you came, out of the dugout. Was that the way it was designed generally, or is it one walk and you're done?
At certain times of the game, it can be. You know, and it's not, you know, that's unfair sometimes, I guess, but sometimes the moment of the game, you have your margin for error zero, and you need to be ready to roll. So you know, sometimes the scoreboard and the score of the game allows you, you know, a little leniency, a little more rope, you know, and stuff. And then there's times when it's like, yep, next guy, you know. So yeah, not afraid to pull the trigger.
It seems to me too, and see if you think this is a fair assessment, that you guys were on Saturday in particular 0-for-9 with two outs, and stringing hits together just seems to be something that hasn't happened this year, maybe overall. And nitpicking here, but is that a fair assessment? And I just don't think there's any way you can quote-unquote coach a team to do that. I think it's just kind of the way the game works, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I wish there was. If there was a drill we could do to make that happen, we'd be doing it, you know, all the time. And it's hyper focus. It's resiliency. It's just grinding out ABs, taking your singles, you know, simplifying it maybe. You know, and that's stuff we're talking about, and that's stuff we're working on with these young men that are amateurs or not professional, and you know, and they're not going to be perfect all the time, but just kind of trying to simplify it and condense instead of, you know, making it more complicated and seeing too much.
You know, I think one of the good things out of this weekend, Coach, is you might have found a Saturday starter in Camden Sundstrom. Came out, gave you really five great innings there. With, I believe, no run baseball.
Yeah, he was brilliant, man. It was powerful. That fastball had a different gear on it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's halfway to the plate, you could see the action, and it just explodes. So, no, he threw really well. But he's been throwing well all year. He competes his tail off, and as much as I wish I didn't have to, you know, to take him out of the pen, because I loved his ability to bounce back. You know, he earned this opportunity to do that, and he'll get another one for sure. So, moving forward, hopefully that'll solidify that.
Yes, go ahead.
Do you approach this week any differently since it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series at Old Dominion?
Do I approach the weekend series or tomorrow?
Just pitching in general.
Well, you got to be aware of it, right?
Yeah.
We play tomorrow and then again Thursday, so you got to be aware. I mean, but our you know, plans on midweeks have been pretty consistent, you know, multiple guys, so I don't think anybody will get too tapped out. And and then for the weekend, no, I mean, it's a 6-day week for Graydon and Sonny instead of a 7-day week.
Yeah.
You know, so that, but you know, it's that they'll be fine. They only threw 83 pitches for Graydon, 75 I think for Sonny, something like that, so they'll be fine.
A familiar trend yesterday, Coach, your bullpen comes in for 7 1/3 innings and shuts your opponent down. Two hits, they did get one run early, but two hits over 7 1/3 innings, and that has been the strength all year of the baseball team. We didn't really see that maybe Saturday, but boy, we sure saw it yesterday.
No, you're right. It's Saturday. We didn't do the job, and you know, when we had to have it, you know, because we weren't scoring runs really, but just didn't get it done. And but yesterday, kind of got back out there, and you know, Colby was magnificent, you know, again, and J Dub was fine until he, you know, couldn't find his zone, and Ock had a good clean inning, and then you know, getting Drake Meeks and Bruce Littleton out there was good to see too.
Boy, Drake Meeks looks like, Coach, if he can get back to 100%, he could be a bear on the mound.
Yeah, we like what he's doing. His body's moving so much better than it did pre-injury in regards to just his direction, and which ultimately means strikes and control. And so, but he's feeling it, and we're going to start feeding him more and more. And I think he's feeling pretty good, and you know, like what he's doing.
I heard him in postgame yesterday. He said it just meant the world to him that you let him pitch at the Pete, and apparently he had not done that before.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, maybe you're right. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. He said that after the game, and he just – is that right?
Yeah, Dave? It is. I went back yesterday while he was pitching. I was like, I think this is his first Coach, time ever on the mound at the Pete.
He was pumped about it, Coach. Let me tell you that. So you made that kid's day by letting him get out there in front of that crazy crowd.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, talking to Christian Ostrander, got a busy week ahead. Baseball tomorrow night and then Thursday night, Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon. That's going to screw me up completely.
And I hope they have TSA pre-check.
I sure hope so, too. Kelly is talking about cutting a check for you know, private jet.
Talking about it.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. In case you were late joining us, Southern Miss up to number 8 in this week's D1 poll, 13 in the coaches' poll, perfect game. Baseball America 16 with an RPI of 9 as we head into, I guess it's kind of hard to believe, Coach Oz, but I was about to say we're headed into the back half of the season. Has it gone as fast for you as it has for us?
Oh yeah, I mean it's a blur. It's all a blur, to be honest with you. But definitely, yeah, you know, you got 27, 28 more ahead of you, and so
yeah,
it's going down the next half. So it's going to be fun.
All right, I'm going to ask you this question. I think I know the answer before I ask you. Any comment you want to make on the fact that your team has virtually spent the first half of the season in the top 15 of every national poll?
That's great. You know, that's great. It doesn't mean anything. And, you know, I don't know if we played like that here the last, you know, couple of weeks. So that should be even more motivation and fuel to just get back to what, you know, what we know we're capable of doing.
And I'm not going to ask you to reveal any details, not that you would or should, the conversations that you have with your baseball team. But my man here, Dima, said told me Saturday night that it was reported all through the media that you really challenged the guys after the game Saturday, Coach. Without revealing any details, I mean, was it more of a thing of we need to live up to standards of the program, that sort of thing?
Well, sure. I mean, it's pride. It's pride in Southern Miss. It's pride in this program that's been built by so many great players before them and great coaches before us. And we got a responsibility, and that's not acceptable. And you know, so it was pretty easy, you know. And but I love the guys; they know that, and you know, we're a family, and we can get ticked off at one another sometime, and that's okay. So you know, we just gotta you know, get back going, doing what we do.
I wanted to ask you about Dre Barrett. Of course, you know, you brought in Ty Long to play third on Saturday, brought Dre back on Sunday. Just curious about where you think he is right now in his headspace and his overall performance.
Well, I think it's obvious that he's, you know, he'd probably tell you that he'd like to be performing better, you know, in some areas. As far as the headspace, you know, it's a tough game, and, you know, and sometimes it can – it can grow inside there if you let it. So, but I think he needed a break, needed to just kind of chill, reset, hopefully, and go from there. So, but we know what he's capable of doing, and we certainly want him to get rolling. As there's several guys in that lineup that still have some more gears, I guess you could say, we could find and get rolling with.
You got Higdon back from that hamstring injury this weekend as well, and I thought he gave you an extra piece to that lineup that seemed to have been missing over the last several games.
Yeah, his presence is just powerful. I mean, we need him in there. He's a threat. He can hit a ball really, really hard, and he can split a gap, hit it over the park, hit it over the fence, just whatever. I mean, so, but having him back in there really, lengthens us back out a little bit.
You got Old Dominion coming up this weekend, Coach, on the road. And if the goal, of course, is to win the conference, it's almost a series like you feel like you have to sweep because you're not going to be able to do your own dirty work because you don't get to play Coastal. But right now, Coastal's kind of running away with things.
Yeah, they sure are. But we don't worry about them. We don't worry about that. And I don't, I would never put that pressure on our guys to say, go into a weekend and say, we have to sweep or have to win three games. You just try to win the game you're playing because it's hard enough to do that.
Well, another concern, I think, is travel right now. I mean, that's universally a story around the country. I'm going to ask you what I ask you off air, but you, any heads up, and when you take a baseball team through an airport like this, any chance that you're given any kind of priority, to get through TSA because you got a big group of young men, and you've definitely got to be at a certain location at a certain time?
Yeah, I doubt it. I doubt they give us any priority, but we're being proactive. Carly's on top of it, talking with our travel agent and even the airport, and just trying to get ideas. But we'll make adjustments to our time that we leave the Pete that morning to get there, and might make for a much longer day, but it's a chance you got to do that just so you don't risk something bad happening, not getting on that plane. And so it is what it is. Nothing we can control, and we just can't control that. So we'll just go and do the best we can with whatever we got.
All right, final question: a message to donors. Obviously, in a perfect world, you would charter your kids to places like this. Going down the line, years to come, how advantageous would it be to the baseball team if in situations like this weekend you could charter like, say, the football team does?
Well, we're moving in that direction in some respects. And right now, our goal is to try to be able to secure one a year with that. And, sometimes, if you didn't have this TSA issue, you would, some commercial flights aren't bad. Mm-hmm. To get there, Norfolk, you fly right into Norfolk. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. And it's the ones where you got to fly into, then get on a bus for 3 hours. Those are the ones that aren't fun. So, but we're moving in that direction, and this program's earned that and deserves it, and we'll do what we got to do to try to make some of those things happen in the future.
All right, Coach, congratulations on the win yesterday. As always, we're very grateful that you'll take this much time with us every Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow night at the Pete.
All right, thank you
all. All right, Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody, and wouldn't that be nice, Nima, if they could travel out here to the regional airport, get on a plane, and fly?
Well, Kelly does it. Every time he goes anywhere, he flies out of Hattiesburg. So.
First class.
First
too,
class on, Santa Airways. So
yeah, but he's pretty selfish, so I don't think he's going to be writing checks for anybody else.
It's that planes have weight limits.
Uh-huh. So you're the only one on the plane.
That's right.
It's you and the captain.
It's commuter planes especially.
Yes.
They got props.
Yes. I have to sit in the middle of the plane. I can't sit on either side.
Well, have y'all seen, I think it's Southwest or United or somebody's, you can book the whole row or something like that. Not necessarily for overweight people. I'm just saying you can now book the whole row so you can lay out like a bed.
Oh, really?
It's kind of strange to me, but
I'm sure there's a premium for that, though.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, while we've got a couple of minutes before the break, I'm already working on it. We'll be doing a two-hour show this Friday.
Has it been 10 years?
10 years, man. That is hard to believe. It'll actually be 10 years Saturday, but since we don't do shows then. And so we're working on it right now, and we're going to be bringing a lot of the guys that made this show. The famous Jim Stump Taylor is confirmed.
He's still alive?
He's still around.
Okay.
Luke Johnson, can't do the show.
Dr. Luke Johnson.
Without bringing Dr. Luke on. A lot of great contributors who have helped us through the years. You know that the second show we ever did, Patrick McGee was on that show. And I talked to him this morning. He's going to come back and talk to us. And we're working on a number of other guests that we think are going to be. Andrew Abbey, one of your old associates, is going to join us. That was your suggestion. I think it was very good.
Yes.
And we believe Mr. Davenport, Steve Davenport, the owner of Super Talk Media. And I'm just telling you now, Center, you be on your best damn behavior when he's on that segment.
Do I have to like wear a shirt with a collar and all that?
Now, fortunately, he's not going to see you. I've never allowed him to see you.
Okay.
just be nice when he's on the air, okay?
As Scott Kirk, the WDAM-TV sports director, heard about this show.
Did he?
And he said, when will somebody be contacting me to come on? And I said, our people will call your people, Scott.
Well, we just might. We want to bring in everybody that's helped make the show possible.
Sure.
Hacksaw can't be on the show. That's Jack Duggan Friday, because they'll be playing Friday afternoon. But he's coming on Thursday. He's going to do a preview to the 10-year anniversary show.
Oh, wow.
On location at, where are we playing?
Old Dominion.
At Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to have a lot of fun this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm very, very grateful to everybody who's made this possible.
Yeah. And at Bob's and mine's age, I don't know if there'll be another 10 years.
The chances are slim. Dima will probably be doing it. Yeah. And in memory of Bob and Kelly, we have this segment. He can set our urns up here in the chairs in the studio.
We'd be here.
That's all I say
in spirit.
I'll set your urn up in the chair. I know about Kelly's.
Yeah.
I might bring some bad, you know, what's that called? Bad juice.
Mojo, juju. Yeah.
Juju to the
juju
studio.
Juice.
But overall, this weekend, you guys, we talked about, I mean, I called a 2 out of 3, but I know that Glenn was talking about, man, you got to start sweeping some.
Well,
of
in our pregame, I mean, our pre, we meet here in the lobby before every show. And Dima and I were talking about the rankings and the, I was kind of picking at him about, we should be. It's true, Dima. I was pretty surprised when I looked up this morning and saw they had jumped up to 8. I'm so glad to see them get the love, because for so many years they got ignored. But, man, it's a lot of love right now.
It really is. I mean, they're a sub-150 offense. I mean, that's concerning in its own right. And then, you know, on top of that, you lose a game to App State, which, you know, Kelly said, you know, 2 out of 3 is good. And he's right. Winning, they really should have lost the series. They should not have won Friday, you know. And but winning series is important. But if you're going to start, if you're going to be claiming to be the best team in the Sun Belt, you got to start sweeping these things.
Got to make your run.
You know,
man.
You got to start, especially at home. I mean, it'd be different if this series on the road. You kind of, you know, App State was at their home park and their own, but I mean, App State came in here and really beat Southern Miss 2 times outside of yesterday's game.
I'll tell you what I'm encouraged about, though, is that you notice that some of these games that Southern Miss loses, they get creamed.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just not even almost like they're not in the game. But the close games, they're winning.
Generally win.
They're finding ways to win, you know, those close ones. And I think as the season goes on and you get into postseason, there's going to be more close games than blowouts. So that's encouraging to me.
Quick question as we head to the break. Golden Eagles win 2 out of 3 every series, maybe sweep a couple, but win every conference series on out. Do they host?
Maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe.
I say yes, but again, they don't get to play Coastal, so you'd have to be getting a host as a number 2 team in your
league.
Right,
but your RPI is going to go down from here on out because you're playing conference teams. So your RPI would have to still be high enough.
How about you beat Southeast Louisiana first?
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Next one on the schedule.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Let me catch up a little bit. That opening segment with Coach Oz was sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, and that is a great place for wonderful meals anytime, any day of the week, 7 days a week. Best place in town to cater your next event, Dickie's or Fuzzy's. There's really no other place to go. Dickies or Fuzzies for all your catering. Eagle Tire West sponsored the second segment with Coach Oz, and that's where our buddy Matt Warren and his staff sell premium Goodyear products, full-service truck and auto service. They're located on Highway 98 West. That's a family-owned business since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. And this segment is sponsored by DBAT. They're on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball, softball, adult trainings, where Kelly goes for all his physical training. And as you know, he is just something else on the tennis court. And it's all attributed to DBAT. Is that right, Kelly?
Actually, Bob, we want people to go to DBAT. so they are not responsible.
Go to DBAT and you won't be like Kelly.
There you go.
You will be more like Dima.
There
How
you go.
How does that sound?
Yeah, much better. Much better.
All right, guys, we don't want to lose track of the fact that not just baseball doing well, the softball team's rolling.
Let me tell you something. They are. They won their series this weekend at Troy. And let me tell you what softball is doing now. Right now, they are tied for second place.
There we go.
In the Sun Belt with the youngest team that they've had in a long, long time. They're 6-3 in league play. They're 25-14 overall. Let me just tell you about what's going on. Hannah Christian for Southern Miss. She's got 4 home runs, 34 RBIs. She is 6th in the league in batting average. And she's 8th in the entire league in fielding. Hannah Christian having a great year. Carrie Green hitting .365. This team, we talked about it a week or so ago, leads the Sun Belt in fielding. All right, 98% of their plays. I mean, they make
wow.
a play.
Wow.
They're hitting as a team .312. Now, what's the baseball? The baseball team isn't hitting .312,
are they? Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the .250 mark.
Okay, so .312, softball and baseball, different games, of course. But they're 4th in the league in hitting, and they're winning these games. They by far have the least amount of home runs as any team in the league. So they're winning it with singles and doubles and things like that. Kayla Giardina, pitcher with a 2.74 ERA. They are playing – now they're back in Hattiesburg after taking a couple of road trips. They're facing JMU, who comes in here this week with a 3-6 conference record, and then Georgia Southern comes in here from Statesboro. They've got a 4-5 record. So with the Eagles at 6-3, and they've got two teams coming in that are below .500 in conference play, the schedule now toward the back end is looking pretty favorable. And again, already, and that Natalie Poole's team has 26 wins this year, and up to this year, the most they had ever put together was a 23-win season. So they're shattering all kinds of records as far as that goes. They're really playing well, and I'm sure they'd love to see you out here. Weather's supposed to be pretty good this week while the guys are on the road. Why not? If you haven't taken in a softball game.
When do they play?
They've got JMU, kind of that Easter schedule mm-hmm. this weekend, and then Georgia Southern the next week. So their next two series are here at home.
Good for the ladies.
Yeah,
good for the ladies.
Playing really well. Good for them. And we're going to get out to practice on Wednesday and talk to Hannah Christian and Kayla Giardina and see – you know, get their perspective on things.
All right, we're also going to turn some attention this week toward football. Kelly did an extensive interview Friday night with Blake Anderson. We're going to bring you the first part of that tomorrow, and then I think either Wednesday or Thursday we'll let you know. Dima, you've been out there. Mm-hmm. Your observation?
Yeah, you know, again, like I said last week, it's just a completely different team than what we've ever seen. It's still taking me a while to kind of get everybody in my head about, you know, who all is everybody and stuff like that. Saturday I was out there for the entire practice, and towards the end of practice there was a fight that broke out between the defensive players. And, you know, I thought Blake Anderson handled it very well. He, you know, got up in their face like a coach should, you know, told them how it's going to be and stuff like that. Made the whole team go through conditioning and then brought the whole team together and said, listen, you know, we're only going to win as a team, you know, kind of that speech. And so we talked to him after all of that on the field after that in the interviews. And he told us, he said, listen, right now we have so many new players that I'm not even really focused on X's and O's. You know, we don't know who the leaders are on this team right now. We don't know, you know, who's going to step up in leadership. So we as coaches, we're focused on discipline right now. We got to show them that this is how it's going to be if you want to play for us. This is how it's going to be every single day, that we're collectively we have the talent to win, but we have to come together as a team. And so that's really what they're learning right now. But big day for them on Thursday, and I'll be out there covering that with HubCitySpokes.com and Pine Belt News out there on Thursday, scrimmage. So this will really be the first time that we've seen the team get any idea of a two deep or anything like that. So go to my Twitter and all that stuff for all the breakdown of that after that, and also put a story out on this episode that happened on Saturday, also on HubCitySpokes.com.
Is that an evening scrimmage that maybe the public can watch?
It's not. No, it's not a publicly accessible scrimmage. Okay. The spring game is, though, later in the spring.
And unfortunately, and you can even talk about the big schools, Iowa State, my alma mater. Matt Campbell left to go to Penn State. New coach comes in, whole new team. So spring football as we knew it a generation ago.
It's different now.
It's gone. Yeah.
But in some ways, it's maybe more important.
Yeah, well, and what's even crazier is now that there was one transfer portal window, the things that you see that you don't have in the spring, now you can't go get in April, you know, where that second portal would open up. So that's going to be different this year, not just for Southern Miss, but even for other college football teams. So, I mean, for all college football teams. So,
and what was his demeanor when you talked to him Friday night, Blake Anderson?
He was great, very, very relaxed and
personable guy.
He always has been, I think, and taking things he's realistic about what's ahead. Because and I won't give away too much because I want you to hear the interviews, but one of the questions was, what kind of offense are you going to run? He said, I don't know, because I don't know what we have. Yeah. I don't know talent wise who we've got to do what, but it used to be where they would know what's coming back. Yeah. He says, we're going to have to figure out who our best guys are on both sides of the ball and then scheme it based on their strengths. Mm-hmm. Now coaches are going to have to change. In the past, when you went to Oklahoma, you knew that Barry Switzer ran a wishbone, right? That was Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Now the game has changed to where coaches have to change based on who they've got. And that changes every year. And quite frankly, I think it's why a lot of coaches are taking the early retirements and going to the house.
All right, fair assessment, Dima. Southern Miss fans are going to have to give Blake Anderson some time. And they don't need to get really impatient with him next year. He's got probably, I'm going to say, I think he has a bigger rebuilding job than post Ellis Johnson.
Well, maybe, but you said that's a fair assessment. Now, that's not what the fans are going to think.
I know,
that's just the problem with that. You know, that's theoretically a fair assessment, but that's just not the day and age we live in college football. And Blake Anderson would tell you that. He said, listen, he would probably tell you, listen, if I don't start winning next year, people are going to start calling for my job, because a lot of people in Southern Miss fans didn't approve of the Blake Anderson hiring in the first place. Mm-hmm. So they're already kind of on the fence. Now, you're right, that's a fair assessment, but I don't think the fans are going to hold that same assessment as you have.
No, I agree.
And the two biggest parts, of course, the offensive line and the quarterback position, are going to be what people want to learn about. Now, the way Coach Anderson is handling protocol for interviews in spring, it's been pretty much him up to now. He is going to start giving access to his offensive and defensive coordinator to talk to the media, but only at the very end will you be able
more
to talk to
players. More accessible than his predecessor?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, of course, we got to see the whole practice. That was the first from last season. But, I mean, you know, Charles Huff, you know, he ran his practices like Nick Saban.
The way he wants to run it.
One way he wants to run it, right. So I'm just glad that we're able to report about it and we got to see a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Well, but, of course, Huff was bringing his All-American team to Southern Miss, so there wasn't this many questions last spring that there are right
and
now.
And you don't have to worry about getting used to it, Memphis fans, because by the time you get used to it, he'll be off somewhere else.
Is it fair to say, remember this saying, Kelly, and Dima's probably old enough to remember this, a new coach comes in to take over a football program, and the universal thought was, well, you got to give the man a couple of 3 years to get his program up and running. You know, you got to give him time to get the program running.
No, and that's what I'm saying. The years when athletic directors would sign these football coaches to 5 and 6 year contracts, that's why.
Yeah.
Now it would not surprise me. Cost cutting measures. You maybe give a coach a 2 year contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not the day and age in college football. I mean, and Southern Miss is different, of course, than the Alabamas and Georgias of the world. Like, I think Alabama, you know, they lost 30% of their roster, but they Bama fans expect them to be a top 10 team, you know, like normal or whatever. You know, but Southern Miss, you know, Blake Anderson lost 95% of his roster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that anybody's ever here has ever had to overcome.
Yeah, they're last in the country in returning production, 134 out of 134.
Well, there you go.
The nine offensive linemen they signed have never taken a Division I snap. You know, they have Hampton back, from Illinois. He's probably the most experienced player on the field outside of Landry Liddy, who started last season in one game.
Well, when we come back, we'll search for some good news in the last segment.
The honest news.
Well, and before we head into break, to put it into perspective, basketball-wise, this is going to be the third straight year now that Jay Ladner is going to have a complete turnover.
It's a new world, my friend. Hey, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are beautiful. They're on Highway 98 West in their exclusive Genesis showroom. And leave there and go down to Mobay Beignet. Get a delicious package of beignets, the topping of the month, and a cold coffee or hot one, too. Mobay Beignet, proud of those sponsors and appreciate their support of the Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your health is the most important thing you can do. Get an annual physical, exercise, eat right, talk to your doctor, be sure your health is as good as it can be. And the wonderful people at Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. And so extremely happy to have them sponsoring the Eagle Hour. As we are our dear, dear friends at Jewel Masters, that's where you go to sell all your gold and jewelry, old coins, old jewelry. Maybe you just don't wear it anymore. Maybe you need some cash. Well, nobody has given you top dollar for gold and silver longer than Marty Vick. Nobody knows more about it than Marty Vick. You're going to get an honest, upfront evaluation of your property. It's going to be very confidential, and you're always going to walk out of the store knowing you got top dollar. And the cold, hard cash is in your pocket. Jewel Masters, Highway 98, they're across from Academy Sports. All right, Demon, news and notes.
I think we're throwing it to Kelly.
Oh, are we?
Okay. Yeah, well, we kind of went over the softball. The golf team, now they're getting ready. The women's golf team in particular, they're wrapping up the season, the regular season this week. They're actually headed to the ULM Invitational, where they are the defending champions. They're going to finish out the regular season at the ULM tournament this week. The 14-team field includes Arkansas State, from of course the Sun Belt. Southern Miss is going to be in it. Troy is in that tournament as well. LSU is actually participating in that. Then they'll wrap up the regular season. We'll tell you how they do at the ULM Invitational a little bit later on this week. But you mentioned, Bob, when you're talking to Coach Oz, that the Eagles are now in the second half of the season. So now that we've got some games under our belt and you've seen other Sun Belt teams and how they have performed against other teams, here's the question that I put before the panel today. If I asked you who would be the most pleasant surprise in the Sun Belt based on expectations prior to the season, and who has been the biggest disappointment?
I mean, I have an easy answer to both. ULM for sure on the surprise front. They're 6-3 in conference right now.
And they were picked to finish,
by far last. 16-13 overall. They lead the Sun Belt in batting average and home runs and doubles. I mean, their offense is really good.
Wait a minute. This is ULM.
ULM. They should have swept Louisiana this weekend. They lost the Sunday game by one run. So they are not going to be any easy out by anybody.
Louisiana Monroe we're talking about.
Yes. Okay. ULM.
Bob, maybe you need to increase your peepers.
Personally, I think the biggest disappointment has got to be Troy. I mean, as much as we make fun of them and say that they're the,
darlings
and stuff like that, that is a talented group that should not be 12-16 overall. No, I mean, they have some incredible talent. They should be a regional team. Yeah. And if we're you know, if you're rooting for teams outside of Southern Miss, you want to root for all your Sun Belt teams to be good because you want the conference RPI to be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, outside of when you play Troy, of course, and they did get one from Southern Miss, but you expect much better things from them. And Georgia Southern, another one.
Disappointment?
Yeah.
Deem is 100% right about both picks, Troy, and he's right about Monroe, but I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I'm a little surprised at Coastal Carolina.
I was going to ask you about that.
Because the news broke they lost their one, two, and three pitchers. And, guys, they have not checked up. I think 31 straight conference wins after this weekend. They have swept every series. I'm a little surprised at how strong they look in light of the terrible, terrible injuries they suffered to their staff.
I was going to ask you if you thought that even though they were projected to do well, that they're playing even better than anticipated.
They look scary.
And this isn't a knock at Southern Miss by any means. I would say you would have to give Coastal almost like a fault, you know, if they were struggling. But think about if Southern Miss, knock on wood, lost Graydon Harris, Colby Allen, and Camden Clark. Yeah. That would be the equivalent of what Coastal had to go through and still sweeping all these series. That's not a knock on Southern Miss.
No.
It's just that's why it's impressive.
About that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing that's kind of strange is that even with the things that Bob said about the way that Coastal has performed, isn't Southern Miss ahead of them in most of the
polls? Yes, which is strange to me. I don't get that. They're 9-0 in league play. Coastal, I mean, I don't the polling makes no sense to me. Now, Southern Miss's non-conference RPI is the number one in the country, but yeah, I don't know, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I think when you go back and you look at the super hot start the Eagles had, and then I think there are three games that have really helped them stay where they are. The three SEC games. You 10-run what's clearly a good Alabama baseball team. You beat Ole Miss, and you beat Mississippi State, who right now, God, I hate to say this, right now may be the best baseball team in the country.
They're playing well.
I think it's either them, UCLA, or Texas for sure.
And so those were huge wins, right?
Yeah. And thankfully, and you know, you got them all at home. You know, I would point to Oregon State being another
100%,
one of them. You know, 100%. They've come along. UC Santa Barbara seemed like a good one, but man, they've just fallen off. The Gauchos, they've lost like their last three or four series, which is not good for Southern Miss's RPI.
Except on Friday night.
So, well, they're losing Friday night games. Nobody can hit Flora, but they come in and hit the other pitchers.
The Gauchos have had some ouchos.
They lost to Oregon this weekend.
We're getting word from Statesboro that this might be the end of the run for Rodney Hennen.
I can understand.
He's the dean of baseball coaches, and they're really struggling.
They never recovered from losing that 5-run lead in the bottom of the ninth in the championship game against Southern Miss 3 years ago.
That's probably what did it.
Well, they haven't been very good since.
No, they haven't.
Didn't have anything to do with it, but they've been on a downward turn for sure.
And he's an older coach, and it might just be time. You know.
All right, we'll have Blake Anderson interview on the show tomorrow. A couple of interviews with Coach this week. Also leaving here to talk to Davis Gillespie, Gray Eubanks, and Thomas Crabtree. We got lots of stuff to bring you this
Daniel week, Stewart in studio, huh?
And Daniel will be here tomorrow. Until tomorrow, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.